Well, it's finally here. The moment that everybody has been waiting for is here. Football season just around the corner, and you can start the season by winning $2 million in week one at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments, brand new season every time you play. You just pick two players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. Simple, boys and girls. Why wait until the end of the season to get paid when you can win huge prizes every single week? You can get started playing right now. Prepare for the regular season with preseason contests running through August. You've already been scouting players. So look, you can just get ready for your season-long fantasy team. Put that knowledge to the test every week at DraftKings.com, where you can turn your love for football into a lifetime of cash. So here's the deal. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Use the promo code TAZ, TAZ, T-A-Z, to play for free for a shot at $2 million, guys. It's crazy. In the week one millionaire maker and a TAZ for free, enter now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
If you can survive, if I let you.
He is the human suplex machine.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome.
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. Love this reaction show
for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz. Human Podcast Machine.
Yo, and we're off. What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? This is he, Taz. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever time it is you're watching this, howdy. I want to talk a little bit about a lot of stuff here today in this particular episode of the Human Podcast Machine, and thank you for downloading and or subscribing to the show. You know, it's not a throwaway BS line when I say without you guys, there is no show. But it's the truth. And any podcast you listen to, or any radio show or TV show, without the support of the masses, and Lord knows I have masses. I don't have millions and millions and millions of downloads like other podcast wrestling personalities, but I do have a good amount of listeners. I will say, what you said, you agree, it's not millions on millions.
I think a plethora of listeners.
Plethora might be a good word.
A plethora.
Plethora. Yes, this is true. Craziness. A lot of craziness going on here, around the CBS radio world here. And people are just, every time I come here, they're chasing me around the office, always asking me questions, photo ops. They want to, can you believe the line of people that want to have lunch with me in this, with these corporate people?
Well, it's because they get a free lunch if they take you to lunch.
I got to buy them lunch.
Right. I bill it off to the company. We talk business.
Talking business. Business, baby. Yes. Well, you know, I'm very popular here amongst the CBS world. They love me. I get here. I see nobody. It's like a ghost town when I get to this office.
We're here. It's 4 in the morning. Who do you want to be here?
It's a lovely rainy day. We know that much. I'm a big fan of that. You know, I open the blinds. I sort of rain. I get happy.
That sounds right.
Happy Taz. So, yeah, I want to talk about a couple things on Raw. I'm not going to break down the whole show. I had a little Madden Xbox break in the middle of Raw. My son put down a challenge on me, so I had to go and, well, I thought I was going to school him, and he ended up beating me. He creates these guys on there.
Yeah, oh, he cheats.
Yeah, he cheats. Like, him and his buddies, they do, and he kayfabes me on it. Like, no. Like, I don't know that, check this out. I was playing as the 49ers. He's the Steelers. He's not even a Steelers fan. I don't know why he picked the Steelers. And he's got his quarterback is number 6, and his last name is James, and it's L. James. I'm like, I never heard of an L. James. And he's gigantic, and it's LeBron James. So he made this guy like 100, whatever you call it. You know, when you make the guy, it's like 100.
Right.
You can't stop the guy. Like, he throws bullets. He's huge. He's fast.
He cheated.
He cheats all the time, the kid. So it's unbelievable.
He taught him well.
Takes after his mom. Come on. So anyways.
Oh, she doesn't listen to the show, does
no,
she?
No. Well, right. She does. So I take that back. It might be an edit point. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so anyway, I did watch a good amount of Raw, and but before we get into that, I want to say I want to thank all of the fans out there, because Early this morning, I was in my favorite cafe next door here in the city, and
the blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah. Get my coffee and my little egg sandwich. And I want to thank all the fans, man. I saw this tweet. I don't know who tweeted or if it was something. I don't know that there's been 1 million downloads or views, whatever it's called, on YouTube of my WWE debut against Kurt Angle in 2000.
Wow.
So it only took, what, 15 years? So
YouTube hasn't been around that long. And how many of those were you? Okay. How many of those did you click on?
All kidding aside, probably 2 or 3 times. I don't.
Right, so it's really technically only $9.99, $9.97.
It depresses me to watch that. I mean, it brings back amazing memories, but it does. You know, I had high hopes. I thought things would go as a wrestler. I thought things would go. Then we went over this in a Taz tale back in the day. But no, it's all. It worked out all good. I have no complaints. I'm very fortunate. But I want to thank everybody out there for, you know, anybody who's been a fan of mine or just a fan of wrestling or WWE fan or Kurt Angle fan. You know, if you clicked on that and downloaded, you're one of a million. So thank you. I mean, I never thought I'd hit something on.
There's your million. You said, you know, millions. There's your million. You got a million.
That's true. I don't have a million downloads, right? Well, not as far as my show, but I needed the WWE help, the Royal Rumble, Madison Square Garden, and Kurt Angle, the Olympic gold medalist, 13-time world champ, 14-time world champion, to help me hit a million downloads.
Well, at least you get a little help from your friends.
Yeah, from the garden, WWE. Okay. Anyway, well, at least had a million. God, what a mess. No. All kidding aside, thank you. It's great. That made my day early in the morning. I was like, well, I'm very flattered. I made me feel a little proud. I got to say,
I should thank him too because I got to sit here with you. So now, take the edge off a little bit.
You think maybe people watching it, saying, maybe all those million of people watched it because they were like, man, let's see how. This guy flopped. He started off great, and then he just fell apart.
You're being a little hard on yourself.
I'm being hard on the WWE, actually.
Them too. Some moments in the company. It wasn't all.
That's like one of the most popular questions I get asked. Oh, do you think that you should have got a better push, or why did WWE mess up on you? Look, like I said before, I got an opportunity to become a broadcaster. Those people gave me the opportunity to, you know, have a brand new career, and they taught me how to do it and trained me in Stanford at their studio, and I couldn't be more grateful. I mean, no doubt about it. Seriously.
How many more beatings could you take on that body anyway?
No, I didn't have a lot left in me. I got to be honest. I was smashed, and I'm still smashed. So, speaking of smashed, good gosh, the Dana White show I dropped about Dana White and my very opinionated viewpoint on him and his theory and views of pro wrestling. Man, it got a lot of attention. Man, it's a lot of buzz on that thing.
It should be.
That's how I felt. I mean, I'm opinionated. I'm not going to come out here.
And you're sensitive, too. You're sensitive.
Yeah, I am very
guy.
Sensitive. I'm not going to come out here and you know, I'm not trying to curry favor with Ultimate Fight or UFC. I'm not looking to go work there as a broadcaster. They're never going to hire me anyway, and especially now they're not. I don't go and look for front seats or front row seats or third row seats or whatever, mezzanine seats. I don't care. I'm shooting with it. You know, and I've moved on. It's not like I'm going to sit here and dwell about it, but some people feel like they still don't get why me or other wrestlers or people from the business would get upset. So, you know what? If you don't get it, listen to the show again that I dropped. It's free right here on Play It or iTunes. And if you still don't get it, then, go find a lake and jump in it. What do you want me to tell you? You know, I mean, really. So that's really how I feel about it.
Wear a life preserver, though.
Yeah, but you got to wear the life preserver. Yeah, don't jump in a lake unless you can swim really well.
Yes.
I mean, if you're like, you know, a good swimmer, like who's the really good swimmers that we know in our country, in America here?
Mark Spitz.
Spitz, I remember him, yes. last time he swam was probably in 71, but yeah, I do remember his name.
Michael Phelps.
Phelps, yeah, that guy's definitely legit.
Don't get high and swim, though.
No, you don't want to do that. You get high, you go low, you go up and down.
Get high and go to Subway, that's okay.
It's true. So anyways, uncomfortable segue. So Raw starts. And you see Seth Rollins comes out, and he cuts a really good promo, has a really good segment. And he's doing the ha-ha gimmick with the Titan Shrine, with the John Cena broken nose face, with the mouth, someone talking.
You
can't see me with the knee. What a knucklehead I am. He's doing that, and I'm sitting there watching, like, what the hell is this kid doing? Then I'm like, oh, now I got it. You can't see the knee. It took me a little while. I'm getting slow in my old age. But, no, I thought he did a great job on the promo. And anytime they do the ha-ha thing with the Tron, with the mouth moving, it's just,
Who did that for? Was that Conan O'Brien? Or,
yes.
Yeah, was that? Yeah.
It's Conan thing. You get a lot of mileage out of a mistake that happened in a match, right? I mean, they're definitely taking advantage of that.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
But is it a mistake? I mean, it's look, I don't think Seth Rollins went to smash him in the face like that. But John Cena, you know, he sees that knee's coming. You know,
it happens, right? Stuff happens all the time.
It happens all the time. But without getting into too detail of the intricacies of a match, there are times when, especially on live TV and with high def cameras and all this stuff, you literally take one on the chin or take it on the nose. And
he sure did.
He saw the knee coming, and he's a tough dude. He ate it. We've all eaten shots as wrestlers. That's what you do. This one caught him real good. I mean, and you know, he ended up having surgery, and I'm sure he's going to be fine. Apparently, he's on Tough Enough tonight or something like that, right?
Correct.
Is that taped? No, that can't be taped. That's live. No, that's not live, but I mean, well, it's like they just taped it.
They taped the segments in the Performance Center, though. That could have been that.
So is he going to be on there with his nose all smashed up or like after the surgery?
I would imagine so, because they keep hyping it, so you would think he'd be on live.
I guess so. I don't know. Don't really matter to me. But anyway, I thought that was a pretty good segment, and then all of a sudden, you know, you had a cast of fellas come out there, from Kevin Owens comes out, Randy Orton, you know, all stuff, and they're making, I'm sorry, Cesaro came out too, Cesaro. My bad. You know,
he was trending, man. He was trending on Twitter.
Oh, that guy's tremendous. He's tremendous in the ring. He looks great, you know, and even though his promos aren't, like, amazing, they're good for him, you know, like his style, you know.
He's getting a little better,
he's
though.
He's definitely getting better, yeah, but I'm saying his promos, like, because of his accent, I think it's kind of makes him very unique. You know, I think it's really cool. I he's got a great look, obviously. He's a big dude. He's in amazing shape. He's strong as hell, and he can work his ass off. So, you know, it's just...
I enjoy watching him and Randy trade shots, man.
No, it's great. Yeah. It's great stuff. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, Triple H came out, and he kind of took offense to Seth Rollins, right? They make some comments saying that he don't care about the Authority. Boom, triple threat match, which was a nice surprise. They do a triple threat match with Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Orton. Winner's going to face Rollins on Raw last night, which I thought, you know, was really, really cool. I mean, so it's impromptu, boom, two big matches right there, you know?
Yeah, triple threat could be a main event on a pay-per-view. I
yeah,
mean, it's a great
absolutely.
Match.
Absolutely, and then they go into a world championship match.
I mean, awesome.
So you can't go wrong with that. I thought they did a good job on that. Free TV, hello, boom. Good job. I thought the show was good. I enjoyed the show. You know, I you know, during the What was it? During the must have been at one point Randy Orton, you know, he was working with Cesaro. He was in there with Cesaro during the triple threat match. And I went on a T-Bone Twitter tirade, right? Which I'll get into in a little while here on the show. But because I want to explain, like, you know, what a T-bone suplex is, what an exploder suplex is, what the differences are, and how people just throw names out there and don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to be honest.
Well, so, a couple things. I looked it up on Wikipedia. They say T-bone. They give you credit in Wikipedia.
I got credit for something?
In Wikipedia, yeah.
Wait a minute. I got credit for naming a suplex and doing, really?
Yeah, and, well, you... The two Z's, but
oh, of course,
yeah. Wikipedia got credit, but it also said that T-Bone is the same as Exploder. I guess you're gonna explain
it's
the difference.
It's not the same as Exploder.
And how come the guys they never give you credit for the move? You name
what
the
guys?
Move.
The announcers.
The announcers, yeah. The show.
I don't know, dude.
That's your you name the move.
I yeah. Mean, I, either they don't know, or they don't care, or they just don't want to mention my name. Because why would you want to mention a former color commentator's name? Maybe you're threatened.
Well, you're also a former wrestler.
Yes, but I'm just saying, you know, these guys are, a lot of these guys are just trying to hang on. Not that I want to go there and be a color commentator, because I don't, but I'm just saying that, you know, I don't need to, nor do I want to, but maybe, I don't know what it is.
They're always plug in the network. That's a perfect opportunity. Say, hey, you want to see the originator of the T-Bone? Go check out Taz on WWE Network on ECW.
Yes,
you
know,
I mean,
yes. Well,
they can say it a little more eloquently than I did. But, you know.
Well, they might not. But, you know. Well, first, let me talk real quick about my boys, because you're looking, again, a little ragged as usual. My boy's over at Harry's. Before we get back into talking more wrestling.
Just say he's not kidding either.
No, you're not.
I need a shave.
You really look like you just rolled out of a gutter over here. I mean, and you come, they've got a little bit of an odor going on, too, Seth. I mean, you got to take a shower.
Now you're just going
you're
too
kind of stinking a little bit, bro. Let's be honest.
Get out of here. You can't smell anymore.
Nah, you can't smell me. Well, I'll tell you what. My boy's over at Harry's, man. I'll tell you what, man. You don't need to overpay for the drugstore quality razor blades. You know how I am with Harry's. You know I love Harry's. They got their shave plan, monthly subscription. They send you the razors directly to your door for as little as $3 a month. Take the guesswork out of shaving. Harry's is going to basically take care of the shipments, get you the razors. You never want out of blades. They time it for you. Forget about having to deal with the burn on your face and your sensitive skin of dragging an old blade through your face as you're trying to shave those stubbles off. You don't need to deal with that no more. You know, decide you want to grow a beard, no problem. You tell Harry's, hey, look, I want some gruff. Slow down or modify my plan. You can do that anytime you want. Your first shave plan order also includes a free handle. And if you've never used Harry's razors or used these handles, they are off the chart. They are phenomenal. Harry's is so confident, guys, that you will love their German-engineered blades that they are giving you basically 100% satisfaction guaranteed. You don't. There's no messing around with these guys. You don't like something, you tell them, they can't take care of it. They're not looking to rip you off. That's how Harry's works. I know you love Harry's, Seth, right?
Well, I need to use it tonight.
You do. You will. Yeah. You will, because I know, of course,
one
of
day
me,
I
you
might,
got...
Well, one day I might be in front of the camera.
Well, because, you know? Well, you never know. That could happen, unfortunately. You might be seen in front of a camera sooner rather than later. So start your Harry's monthly subscription and never, ever worry about buying blades again. As a special offer for the new customers, my fans, my listeners, get your free razor and save $5 off your first subscription with my code TAZ at checkout. That's Taz at checkout. That's harrys.com, code TAZ, and start shaving better today.
Well, how much do you save? Was it?
We talked about how much you save. What did I say?
How much you save? Is it
$5?
$5.
$5. $5.00. $5.
$5. That's only East Coast. It's $5.
We're talking about $5. People know. They know how
save,
I
say $5.
They know my inflections. $5. You know, it's my grammar, my inflection, my indiction. They understand that. Indiction. That's not even a word.
Addiction?
Indiction, I said.
Indiction? F-I-G-H. Fi.
Yo, how about the Six Diva Tag match? Did you watch this?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
It was good. I was all right. Six. Sometimes six is too many. I don't know with the girls, but the girls have set a high standard.
Too many? Huh? There's never too many divas. What are you talking about?
Too many divas. I'm saying for wrestling, but they've set a high standard lately. It's really taken it to next level. So it was okay.
Well, the team now to change name. That what was there? The sorority submission. You know about that? What happened, right? And now they're Team PCB.
Yeah. Why? What happened? Why'd they change it,
bro? You don't even know what happened with the.
I saw something.
Triple X like porn thing. Oh. Accident. Like
oops.
There's some kind of a. I don't know if it's sorority submission or whatever.
It's a poor name. It's a poor name for everything, isn't there?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. But they had to change the name. So, boom, Team PCB. I don't know. Must have took those folks a while to come up with that. So that's Team P- I mean, really.
We'll take the first initial from each
Paige,
name. We'll
Charlotte, Becky. I mean, God, guys, really?
Is that much what, drama in the PCB?
But that's Team PCB. I mean, that's what we came up with.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised. That's there's teams of people that come up with names in the creative department in this company. I've witnessed these people do this. Well, sometimes simple's better. This is simple, and it's going to work. It don't matter. These three girls are awesome. I mean, you know, Paige and Charlotte and Becky Lynch, they're all three of these girls are tremendous talents. Don't matter what their name is, really. And then they built to, you know, at SummerSlam, it's going to be three-team. Like you can see, they were set up early in the show, and then they announced it later at SummerSlam, a three-team, three-way Schnabel's Fernum, you know, Divas Insanity. So whatever they're going to call it. Not
even
Insanity.
Team Tap Out, no? They got to deal with Tap Out.
Well, that's probably the IP of Tap Out, which is probably my IP before theirs, but I don't want to say that. I mean,
you should lock that down.
I should have locked it down, the Tap Out thing. Had shirts, had everything, and that was a mistake by me. So
let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
So yeah, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, I think that it's awesome and it's refreshing to see the Divas get the amount of time they get on NXT and on WWE main programming. I gotta say, I remember when I was wrestling years ago, a lot of times, you know, some of the females were a little upset. They weren't getting enough time. They weren't the female segments, the diva segments were not treated the right way. They were not. It's a different world now, and I you know, it's awesome for the girls who paved the way for the former divas of the athleticism and the beauty and the sex appeal of these girls to today's day diva or knockouts in TNA or whatever you call them in any wrestling company of not just the WWE girls, but. I mean, to be a wrestler and be a female wrestler, you know, it's tough. It's very tough for females. I mean, it's always been like a male-driven business, you know. But I got to tell you, it's kind of like the tides changed a little bit. I mean, so kudos to the girls.
Well, the fans appreciate good action.
And, it's legit action. Work. I mean, and tremendous talents.
And they're hot.
And they're hot. I mean, all these girls, I mean, you know, from Team Bad, they were all, I mean, like I said, Team PCB now.
And the other girls have stepped up since
the
new
Bellas
came.
The Bellas have always been excellent, and Alicia Fox. I mean, so it's like, I'm just saying. You're saying the new...
The NXT girls, I mean, the other girls bring it, step
correct,
up their game.
Correct, because it's a competitive locker room, you see?
Where's the rest of the divas now? I haven't seen Natalia or, you know, Natty or other girls I haven't seen.
Well, it's...
We got Lana and Summer. They're fighting.
They're fighting, but I'm just saying that. But that, too. I mean, and that was... We saw that last night with Rusev, your boy Rusev.
Rusev.
Yeah, I like his flag. The new flag. You see that?
He's a very handsome man.
He's got that cool flag. He's got his picture on. He's a very handsome big man.
You never had a flag, did you?
I had a Team Taz flag. Yeah, do your homework. I did have... I wasn't
on
it.
That's what I'm talking about.
It was a big black T on there for Taz. That's what was on there. You had a Team Taz flag. And if you go back, folks... And listen to my second show here on HPM. Rob Van Dam was my special guest and was a great guest. And if you remember, Seth, Rob was talking about Team Taz.
I remember that.
And he exaggerated. And I love Rob, but he did exaggerate. He said to go over a match with me and go over some business. He had to go through literally layers of Team Taz members, which was just such a lie. But, you know, we love
maybe
Rob.
Maybe like one layer.
Going to have Rob on again soon. I got to talk to Rob. I want to get him back on. It's just he's great to have on. I want to get Edge back on, too. I mean, different, though. Different. There's some different things happening, Seth. You know, I can't say, you can't say, in a different style than we've interviewed or talked to those guys before.
Kayfabe.
Exactly. So,
one other thing about the Divas. I saw an interview with Charlotte, and she's very driven, and she said, you know, Ronda Rousey's on top of the mixed martial arts right now, and I want to headline WrestleMania. That's my goal, and that's, you know, it's a huge goal, but it's great for her that she has that drive.
She should.
Yeah.
She's an athlete. And look at her dad, you know, I mean, why wouldn't, you know, from the nature of Ric Flair, I mean, arguably the greatest of all time. So why wouldn't, and it doesn't shock me that Charlotte has that drive and that desire to headline WrestleMania. I hope she does it.
Yeah, maybe her and Ronda will do it one day.
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
I hope so. I think that'd be great. Are we taking a break in the show? What are we doing?
No.
Why can we take a break? We're not taking a break.
Because you know, the numbers are down, the margins.
What numbers are down?
Not your numbers.
I don't have the millions upon millions of downloads like others.
And millions.
But I'm not doing that
76 million
bad.
People downloaded my podcast last
How about
week?
My boy Tanay? His show's going pretty good, right? Professor Vegas Podcast.
He's the man.
Sports betting. It's awesome, right?
And to be honest, I'm looking forward when football season really starts. You know, that's when it really is going to kick in, you know? And we're going to have to talk to him. We're going to need some tips. You know, we get some DraftKings tips.
I've been lucky. I've you know, known Mike for years and was his broadcast partner in TNA during our time together there. I've gotten a lot of tips from this guy during football season and stuff.
You got a bookie over there?
This is no lie. This guy knows his stuff. Like,
you got a bookie on the island, Taz?
I don't want to say nothing. I don't like to talk about that kind of stuff.
The guy at the neighborhood? The butcher?
Let's put it this way. I'm not putting $5 on any games. You know what I'm saying?
$5.
A little higher rent district than that. So,
hey now.
So I guess people want to hear some chatter about this whole, what's a T-bone, what's not a T-bone, or what do you think? Should I get into that now or what?
Yeah, just don't use me as a tackling dummy.
No, I'm not going to use you as a tackling dummy. I'm not
taking any bumps.
Because there's no tackling involved. No, basically, look, there's a difference. I mean, there is a difference with Randy Orton. Now, he's done what I would call a T-bone in the past. I've seen him do one. Okay. What he did last night was more of a capture suplex, okay? Now I'm going to explain the difference. The difference in a lot of... The main difference between... a T-bone and an exploder suplex. Okay, a T-bone is a half waist and a high crotch, kind of to the side of the man's body with a back arch into a suplex. That's what a T-bone is. I was not the first guy to do a T-bone. The first guy I was inspired by and I saw do a T-bone, but it wasn't called a T-bone, was Hirohase, okay, from Japan, who also has probably the best Northern Lights suplex you ever saw. I was a huge fan of Hase, and he was the first guy. And then Scott Steiner, when him and his brother Rick were tagging up for all his years in the NWA or WCW, whatever it was, Scott always did a T-bone, still does T-bones. But like I changed it a little bit of where I would pop my hips. I would do the half waist again, not what they call a collar tie. That's an exploder. A half, I'll get into that in a minute. A half waist, high crotch. That means an overhook around someone's thigh where your forearm kind of goes up in the crotch area. Pop your hips, back throw, and turn the man in the air. Okay? That was a T-bone, and I named it a T-bone. And the reason why I named it a T-bone, I wanted to stand out different than the other guys. And I felt like if you grab someone, if you watch the way someone grabs someone with a half waist and a high crotch, it's almost like a T. That's where I came up with the name T-bone. It had nothing to do with the name Taz. It had nothing to do with that stuff.
Or steak.
Nothing to do with steak. No, even though I'm more of a filet butterfly with peppercorn blackened type of steak, not so T-bone.
And you big fans know that. You want to send Taz some steaks.
But I digress. So the exploder suplex, some folks get confused, is a T-bone suplex. It's not. An exploder, again, it's not a, now that's not a half waist. That's a high collar snatch or grab or clasp. So you grab someone with your forearm across their body, with your hand by their neck or across their trap, high collar, like a collar tie, for those who've wrestled or been involved with any kind of martial art, grappling art. A high collar with a high crotch, an overhook high crotch. Now, I know this is audio, so it's kind of maybe confusing for some people. That's why I'm talking and saying it's slow. So, give you an example. Myself, if you watch a lot of my exploder suplexes, we call them, I think Joey Styles might have called them, like a high collar Tazplex, a T-bone Tazplex, a high collar. I'd always want the name high because I'm gripping the guy different than on half waist. Okay, so like I go back to the T-bone again, just a T-bone, half waist, high crotch to the side, okay? But you're throwing the guy over your body as you back arch. So if you watch, like I said, Hase, if you watch Scott Steiner or watch my stuff, even as of late, Roman Reigns, I saw recently on a WWE Biggest Show, he didn't really have much of a back arch. He just muscled the guy over, but he gripped him the way he would grip someone on a T-bone suplex, which is a half waist, high crotch. So what Randy Orton did last night was a half waist overhook over the man's leg. Underhook, my bad. It was a half-waist underhook where a T-bone is a half-waist overhook. Seth, you're a fan. Fans are listening to this. Before I keep going, questions. Am I confusing you?
It's a little bit. It's a little like, you know, under, over, around, this way. It's a little, you know, I looked it up on Wikipedia.
Okay,
I
think, stop with the Wikipedia shit.
I think you need to correct Wikipedia. You're allowed to
edit
it.
I don't care about Wikipedia because that's just people typing stuff, dude. It doesn't matter. What's it say?
It says exploder suplex, also called a T-bone suplex, named by former wrestler Taz. You got credit.
Yeah, but it's...
The attacker stands facing his opponent and positions him under one of the opponent's arms and wraps his arm around his opponent's neck and back.
No, that is an exploder. It's like I said, a high collar. What is confusing, Seth? I'm trying to break this down as simple as possible.
I need images. I need video. I need pictures.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna go on the assumption that 98% of the listeners out there are more intelligent than you.
That's probably a good assumption.
So again, I'm gonna go over this slow. Okay. T-bone suplex. You half waist. Now, I don't suggest anyone doing this at home, by the way. I'm not telling you to go do this with your friends. I'm not saying don't. There's a certain way to do this. If you don't know how to throw the person, you will injure them. Don't. You can injure someone badly if you do not know what you're doing. So don't do this. Okay? And maybe somebody announces a listener so they can learn properly which throws are which. And by the way, some people talk about, well, how does WWE allow the announcers not to know the moves right, this to say their name's wrong? How do you? I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay, the gospel truth here. The WWE, they don't care if you get names wrong. They don't. They don't care about the names of the moves. They don't. They just don't. The old guard that's been there don't. Let's just put it that way. Okay, if you get the stories wrong or you get the character development wrong, that's a problem. The names of the moves, I mean, if it's a basic move and you're screwing it up all the time, they don't care. They're going to care if you screw up all the time. If you screw up once in a while, they don't care. If you don't call a sit-out powerbomb, you just call it a powerbomb, they don't care. Be honest, some of the old guard guys in charge don't even know the names of the moves. They don't care. That don't matter to them. It don't matter. It matters to the fans, and I got to be honest, it does obviously matter to the announcers because you don't want to lose your credibility. So, especially if you've wrestled before. Now, I'm giving you intricate details on the difference between an exploder and a T-bone, and it could be confusing. Again, we're not doing video here, but I'm giving you points of reference to go on YouTube. So, if you want to see an exploder suplex, again, that's the high collar, or sometimes called a claw, a high collar where you grab the guy's trap across your body, go to the side, and then get a high crotch. It's an overhook. A high crotch is an overhook in around a man's hamstring, up in his crotch. Overhook of his thigh. An underhook is like a capture throw. If you watch Randy Orton, he did last night, and watch his hand, he did an underhook with a halfway sword claw. I can't remember what he did. And it's a capture suplex. That's what that is. That's what he's doing. Okay. If you want to see an exploder done, okay, you go on YouTube and you can watch some of my stuff when I grab a high claw, high collar with a high crotch. Watch Sheldon Benjamin did it also. Many people, obviously tons of Japanese wrestlers do it. Becky Lynch, okay, from NXT and WWE. I was very proud of my suplexing ability and the work I put into it. And the moniker Human Suplex Machine. Proud of that. I got to tell you, Becky Lynch, her throws, it's weird because she's a female and I'm a male. Her throws are very close to some of the throws she does to the style that I used. Her timing, her hips, the way, I mean, she got better hips than me, but that's a whole nother story.
Her hips don't lie.
Yeah, her hips don't lie. No, but her technique in the throw, very similar to my technique. So if you watch her exploder and watch my exploder or Northern Lights or what have you, you'll see a lot of similarities in the timing and the technique of the throw. A suplex is not just grabbing a guy and just, okay, you just throw him. There's an art. It's an art. Your back arch, if you don't have flexibility in your spine and in your lower back and in your hips, you're not a suplexer. You know, it's just not. Sure, you can muscle guys over and throw them, and announcers think they're suplexes and fans think they're suplexes.
Technique.
To me, that's not a suplex. Suplex is a back arch, a legitimate back arch, popping the hips the right way, bridging back the proper way, and landing your opponent hard but safely. I mean, so, again, exploder suplex. It's a higher grip with a high crotch across with your other arm. Okay, so let's say a claw with a high crotch, where T-bone is a half waist with a high crotch. And they're both overhook grips into that high crotch. Underhook is more of what Orton did last night. Okay, that's the capture. So, I mean, that's how I would break down those particular throws. I mean, so, Seth, again, I will lean on you for any questions or any confusion? I see you always have this confused look on your face. I know that's the normal thing you got going on, but is there any other questions?
Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Okay, see, now that's why a lot of my fans are starting to not like you, because you want to play ha-ha, you want to be funny, and you can't be serious. See?
I'm serious. No, you covered everything, man.
Okay, I mean, good. So then shut your mic off. I don't need you to contribute. If you don't have a question, that's legitimate. So you got this whole thing down. So if I told you to do an exploder suplex,
I am not a suplexer.
I know that, but I'm just saying you would know how to grab it. I don't suggest you do it anyway, because you probably hurt yourself more than your own opponent.
I'm hurting just talking about it.
I'm hurting looking at you. Okay.
Maybe we can rearrange the studio so we don't have to face each other.
Well, that could happen, too.
Yeah.
That might happen sooner rather than later also.
Okay.
And, yeah, that might happen, too.
You could wear a mask, maybe.
There will be no mask. There might be other stuff in the studio.
Yeah.
People might be able to see that, too.
Maybe we get a pet.
That's not a bad idea, dude.
A mascot. A bulldog or something. No, not a bulldog.
Bro, no, that's I like taken. A mascot idea.
Yeah. Like that?
Ooh, I like a mascot. But something that's low maintenance. Well,
Tasmanian devil are not low maintenance.
They're not low maintenance. Vicious. You got to feed them like animals. Like, yeah, no, you got to feed them like squirrels every day, you know? Yeah. Like, no, maybe we should get like a raccoon in a cage. No good, right?
That's a little high maintenance.
What kind of a...
Building ordinances, codes.
Once I get rolling with the new deal, bro, and we're rocking and rolling, maybe we got to get some people, some fans to tweet, give suggestions on what mascot we should have. That's a low maintenance mascot.
Turtles.
That's funny. My son plays for the Turtles. His lacrosse...
Let's think about Rocky. You know, he had Cuff and Link.
Yes. Turtles are low maintenance, though.
Yeah.
They're not mean. I need meat, something mean.
Because snapping turtles.
They're mean. Yeah, how about a bullfrog?
No? Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Jeremiah was. No, a bullfrog is kind of cool, right?
True story, I used to have frogs in my office. They sold them at a store. I had two little frogs, African tree frogs.
Did you put them in like a little tank?
Yeah, had a little tank and they died. A couple of years, I had them like 4 or 5 years.
What if we had like a shark, like a baby shark? They grow though, right?
I think we have budget for that.
Just get put like a one of those aquarium, whatever you call it, in the studio.
Put your demands in.
Could you imagine, dude? How cool would that be?
That'd be pretty cool.
A giant shark.
Then we'd have to be one of those goofy sports shows. Welcome to the Shark Tank.
That's true.
We're going to take you into deep waters.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. So I'll tell you, it's back to this Raw deal last night. How about this, the actor, what's his name? Steve Amell. Do you see this guy, dude?
He's the Arrow.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the Arrow. What's the Arrow? He's an actor. Give me a backstory for those that don't know that.
DC Comics, the Green Arrow. You ever heard of the Green Arrow? It's one of the DC comics. Yeah. Well, this is a take on that, and it's a CW show, so it's got that CW feel. It's a good show. It's cool. People are really into it. It's got a cult following, and I gotta say, I was impressed with his athleticism yesterday.
Well, that's what I want to tell you, man. He is a legit athlete. The way he scaled the top rope, you can see he probably rehearsed it and worked on it. Definitely an athlete. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed the backstage bit later with Triple H and Neville and Steve Amell. I really enjoyed Triple H's role in this. The things he was saying was cool, and it was like kind of protective of the business. I thought that was cool.
I thought about you when I was watching. I was like, oh, Taz is going to love this.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. I thought that was great. That's more of what would really be said. You know,
right, you want to do what we do?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look,
you
Triple H said it, and it's the truth. You know, I mean, look, if he's going to go in there, like, if this wasn't entertainment in the show, I like Stardust's chances in that fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
So, no, I'm just saying. It's like that's, and Triple H kind of alluded to that the right way, and building into okay, we'll sign. You're gonna have to sign his legal documents, and they put it on Steve Amell to say, I'll sign whatever. Get your lawyers to settle up. It was done. I just love that. I think for casual fans, it's fun to watch that because you can gravitate to it, and for the hardcore dedicated fan, your intelligence is not insulted. And for former wrestlers like myself, it's cool because it's like you got a guy from the older generation, like a Triple H, who's the boss there. Don't matter. He's still a wrestler to me, Triple H. And he's a wrestler's wrestler. So he broke in like I broke in under the same type guy but up in Boston. He broke in with Kowalski. I broke in with Johnny Rods. He was up in Boston. I was in Brooklyn. I mean, it's, you know, Kowalski and Johnny Rods, similar guys from that same era. So I know how, you know, H broke in, you know, and he's protective of the business.
And he finished a match with, like, his thigh muscle off the bone, right?
Yeah, he did. And San Jose, I believe. I saw them drag him backstage into that ambulance, whatever the hell it was. It was, yeah, he was in a, but he sucked it up, man.
That's crazy.
I think that was San Jose, right? Wasn't it? I think it was.
A tag team match, I remember.
Was it San Jose? Oh, God, if I'm wrong, I'm going to get Twitter heat.
Yeah, they understand, Taz. They know, like, you know.
I think it was San Jose, dude. He tore
a lot of years on the road. You could forget a location.
Dude, I forget locations all the time. I forget how to come to this place every day.
Well, you made it. You got here faster than me.
Looks like I made it. So I did get here faster than you. You were very late.
I was very
late. Why? What happened?
Bus. All of a sudden, the traffic stopped. I said, only when I work with Taz. Only when I work with Taz. And the bus broke down, and they got another bus, and they replaced the bus. Okay.
For those out there, and you, Seth.
Uh-oh.
If you ever heard of the comedian Dom Ayera.
Love that guy.
He's the best.
Yeah.
He does a bit about the bus. I got my bus ticket. Like he just said, like if you're taking a plane or a train, you know, it's kind of cooler. But if you take a bus, you're like a jabroni.
I'm a jabroni.
You got to hit a bit on the bus. It's funny, man.
I remember one of his bits, he said, he goes, smoking is such a horrible habit. And people just like, you know, they say, oh, I have a, how's your day? Blow smoke in my face. He goes, I have a bad habit of spitting. Yeah.
Spitting, yeah.
I had a rough one.
Right in your face. Oh, no. He was funny, man.
Classic.
I thought he'd make it bigger than he made it.
He's a successful comedian.
Yeah,
he's not funny. Like our boy Sebastian.
Well, I'm going to get Sebastian. I've been communicating with my man Sebastian Menicausi a little bit. I've been communicating with him. And once we get rolling in the fall here with the new thing going on here with the old Taz show, we will basically have my man Sebastian on the show.
And people need to know that's probably the funniest comedian out there right now.
Sebastian Maniscalco is, I might be saying his name wrong.
Maniscalco, something like that. I think you're saying it wrong. Maniscalco. If you guys Google Sebastian M, you'll find him. He's the
damn Italian
guy.
Names. Those yeah. Italian names are very confusing. So, no, he's hilarious. He's a Chicago guy. He's very funny. He's from Chicago. So, but back to Steve Amell. I got to tell you, it's going to be interesting now. He's going to be in this tag team match and where it's, help me out, it's Stardust and Barrett, right?
Against Neville and him.
Okay, so you do understand why it's a tag team match? That's gonna
the wrestler's got to carry the match.
Correct. So I'm assuming it'll be, you can kind of.
And you mentioned Stardust. How about Barrett? I wouldn't want to be in the ring. No. I wouldn't be anywhere near that guy.
No, he's a tough dude. I mean, I'm telling you right now. I think that I don't know this guy's background. Steve Amell. He must have been an athlete or something, dude. Because he really he's super athletic, dude. And Triple H hit him with the, no stuntman, don't bring a stuntman line. That was pretty funny.
Great.
So, yeah. So I just really enjoyed that. I thought that. I thought that it was really cool, done the right way. And it should be interesting. I'm sorry for all those Green Arrow fans out there. I don't follow. I don't really know the guy's career that much. That's just my deal. What other match stuck out? The main event. What did you think of the main event, Seth? A fan's perspective on what happened. Where it was really the outside interference and a kind of a tease,
they keep having Seth Rollins like just about to lose like every time. I mean, I guess that Flair used to do that all the time too.
It's important, right.
He's a cowardly heel champion. Yeah, the tease, man. I thought they were gonna give it to Sheamus.
Me too. I gotta tell you, they had me hooked. I thought
they got 2 weeks to play with.
They did a good job. They did a good job, but he cashed it in, but he didn't. Michael Cole did a good job basically saying, because he obviously, I don't know if someone fed that to Michael Cole or he probably realized it, he had to put an exclamation point at the end of it, Cole did, saying he never technically cashed it in. So, because it looked like he cashed it in and then Randy Orton, smashed him, so it's good that the announcer covered it like that,
Sheamus, I think, gets a little forgotten with all these guys now, with the Owens and Cesaro and Sheamus, even though he has the case, I'm just thinking now, he'd be a great opponent for Brock down the line. He's such a big guy. They could have a big physical match. He's one of those guys.
It'd be physical. I don't know if those guys would have good chemistry, but definitely would be physical.
Right. I mean,
Sheamus is a
tough
guy. He's a big dude. He's very big. You see him in person. He's a lot bigger than you. He's tall.
He's
very
a monster.
Yeah, he's even taller than me, this guy. You got to see him.
Wow, he's really tall.
Yeah.
Well, because, when Brock's in with Seth Rollins, you're like, can Seth survive? That's what you're thinking. When with Sheamus, you would believe that he can hold his own and land some shots and put some pain on.
Yeah,
Brock,
I agree. I mean, but wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. So you think that, are you saying that Seth Rollins doesn't look like he's credible and he's tough enough to fight someone like Brock?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying size-wise. Just Brock, because they built Brock as a monster. He's indestructible.
Well, that's the gimmick. Yeah.
I'm aware of that. I just think Seth's style and size doesn't, lend itself to believing he could beat Brock.
Seth Rollins is a modern-day, what a pro wrestler is today. Lean, okay, fast, healthy, athletic. Seth Rollins is probably about 6'4". He's not a little guy.
No slight on him.
He's just not as heavy and thick as a Sheamus or Brock Lesnar, your point.
And his character, too, lends itself to that as well.
Well, that's the gimmick. Yeah. He's playing
the Brock is heel. Brock's like on a different level. That's all I'm saying, from everybody.
Well, yeah, and that's how he's built.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I do agree that Sheamus and Lesnar would be a very physical contest. I don't know if they would be great 5-star matches, because you need that balance. And that's where a guy like a Seth Rollins, that's when you watch like Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. Okay, these are two highly athletic guys that are big guys, but highly athletic, and they just really balance off each other. And where someone like a Seth Rollins and a Brock Lesnar, it's the big killer tank versus the highly skilled Bugatti. You know what a Bugatti is?
Is it a motorcycle?
No, it's a
car. It's a car.
So it's faster than like everything, just about. It's like a Ferrari. It's faster than like a Porsche. It's fast, bro. It's just fast.
How many do you have?
A Bugatti?
Yeah.
Bro, I got none.
None?
Now, how much these these Bugattis were like $3 million each.
That's it?
They're even more money than a Tesla. Frank Tesla, bro, where you at? Oh, yeah, he's in on Twitter. How many followers does Frank Tesla have? Those Taz Live fans know who we're talking about.
I think me and like one other guy.
And you're like begging me to follow him.
Yeah.
Eh, maybe soon I'll follow him.
Follow him. He's got something to say.
Did he ever send you that package?
No. Okay. Getting the Tesla package.
He's supposed to send a package. What happened? He says he works for Tesla. Where's the package for Frank Tesla?
The package.
Oh, jeez. So that's the thing. But I enjoyed Raw. I thought it was a good show. I did. I think it's a good build. You're getting close to the SummerSlam deal. I also think that. Oh, by the way, did you hear about the NXT deal? Man, it's sold out.
That's amazing.
The Saturday night before that's SummerSlam.
Awesome.
Insane, dude.
They're taking over Brooklyn that whole weekend.
Yeah, man. It's like 13,000 people. Yo, how about this?
You been there yet, Barclays?
I've never been there. No, you've been there for a fight recently, right?
I've been there a few times. It's a beautiful arena. I mean, run very well. People are nice. People work there nice. It's top notch.
Really?
Yeah. So you wrestling fans?
You drive there?
You
took public transit? How'd you get there?
I'm a jabroni, dude. Bus, trains, planes, cars, automobiles. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. It was. It's. I heard it's awesome. I heard it's beautiful there.
Perfect. Great arena.
Tons of great eating establishments. Any fans going to SummerSlam that are from outside of the New York City area, you're going to love that area of Brooklyn, that Fort Greene area. There's so many awesome restaurants,
bars,
pubs and bars, and it's really, really cool. It's a safe area. I mean, it could get a little rough around that area, but I think I'm from that area, so to me, you know.
It's home.
But if some kid is going in with his girlfriend and he's from, like, you know, Austin, Texas, he might think it's a little bit rough. You know what I mean?
So. You're fine unless you're hanging out at 3, 4 in the morning and you're looking for trouble.
You know, stay in your hotel. Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. No, but I'm telling you, people that weekend, it's crazy. This is what I want to talk about, man. It's really, it's kind of, I don't even know how to put this in words. The WWE, I remember for years, like, you know, and you guys, fans, you guys know this. WWE would have a huge show like a WrestleMania or a Survivor Series or SummerSlam, one of the big pay-per-views, on a weekend. And then all of these independent promotions would try to piggyback, well, these small promotions or even like a Ring of Honor, you know, would try to piggyback and on the Saturday and grab those fans because they know if WrestleMania is in Seattle on Sunday, hey, Friday or Saturday night, we're going to have tons and tons of wrestling fans from all over the world in Seattle. So let's run shows, right? Let's run shows, Ring of Honor. Let's piggyback on that. Let's do it. You know what I mean? And I got to be honest with you, WWE's kind of killed that now. And I don't blame WWE. You know, it's like they're the big, like, they're like the big killer whale with all these little guppies floating on them when they're floating by or barnacles on like a big-ass boat. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so WWE's like, you know what? We're going to kill all that because we're going to do NXT on Saturday night. So we're going to shut you out. So now you're not going to go to, you know, whatever. I think the Ring of Honor show is probably taking a decent hit, and they're running that where the Cyclones play in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
In Coney Island.
It's a little more of a hike, you know?
Oh, it is, but don't matter. If you get fans from the UK or fans from wherever or fans from the West Coast, they would have went to the Ring of Honor show. Why wouldn't they? Ring of Honor puts on a great show.
Yep.
But I got to tell you, now they're going to stay put and just do everything at Barclays. And Raw, I think, is at Barclays, too, on Monday, right? Right after SummerSlam?
Correct.
So, you know, you got tons of hours and hours of WWE wrestling live. I mean, it's a really I feel for those other companies or independent promotions that they can't, you know, I guess, rub up against the WWE and get their fan base. But, you know, the part of me, the ex-WWE guy in me, looks at it like, hey, WWE's worked hard, spent a lot of money. The company works hard to draw a ton of people to these big events. You know, shame on you to try and rub up against us and grab our fans that weekend. You know, so now here's our NXT on Saturday night. We're shutting you out. You can't do it. So I not you can do it. I'm exaggerating. I'm not saying you can't do it.
Scraps.
It's you're right. It's going to hurt your gait. You know, and again, not a knock on these other promotions, but I've witnessed. I've been inside the machine at the WWE when they're building and the build and the money spent and the time spent, the effort spent on selling out a big show like WrestleMania, selling out a big show like a SummerSlam. I've been in there. I know how much work goes in from everybody and the money that the McMahons put in this thing and the time to sell out these giant, giant venues. And then on Saturday night, you know, now you're going to run a show. you know, at some local baseball park or whatever. Now, I'm not just saying Brooklyn. I'm not attacking Ring of Honor. I'm just using them as an example because it's a shoot. And I'm just saying that I think that, you know, WWE, I don't blame them. Good for them. I mean, because it's their fans, and they're the one that's drawing the people for Sunday's show. So now they got NXT on Saturday night, and I think it's something like they sold out right at Buck, but it's like 13,000 people and change.
Yeah, so, I don't know how they work the crowd, maybe some parts of it. I think it holds more than that, but it's whatever.
Oh, no, of course it holds more than that, bro, but they're blacking it out.
Right.
I guess, I don't know, maybe they blacked out some because they want to keep it a certain look, or maybe they thought that it wouldn't get, you know, it wouldn't get 13,000 people. I don't know. I mean, that's a huge, huge thing for the WWE and for NXT. I'm happy for all of them. I mean, so...
Well, it's also good for ROH that it's sold out now. So if anybody can't get into NXT.
I thought that. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. I mean, but there's a lot of good stuff going on. And I know JR's got his deal at the Gramercy Theater. I believe that's on Saturday night, JR's deal, Seth. It's
I'll take a look.
The Gramercy Theater. Yeah. He's, you know, and he does a great job with that where he goes on stage and just tells stories and talks to people, one-man show type deal. And then does like a Q&A. I mean, guys I know from the business have been guests at JR's stuff, and he does a great job at it. And he's doing that at the Gramercy Theater on, what, Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday night, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so there's another option. If you didn't go Ring of Honor, you didn't go to the NXT show at Barclays, go check out JR's deal, man. I mean, for real. You know, JR is going to give you tons of insight on everything. He's going to entertain you. He's going to make you laugh. He's going to reminisce. I mean, so... go check him out if you don't feel like going to watch actual wrestling.
Or if you're people from out of town, you want to come see Manhattan, you know, see the big city. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's, right,
buddy.
It's right in the heart of the city.
Well, Gramercy Theater, no doubt. Yep. Yeah, so, you know, that's cool. Wait, let's plug that for JR. Where can you get tickets? Ticketmaster for JR's deal, Seth? What do you
Live look? Nation, I'm looking at. I just Googled Jim Ross Gramercy. You can get tickets real easy.
Yeah, go check out JR's deal. I don't know if he's sold out yet. He will sell out, and he does a great job. So check him out on Saturday night. Or if you don't have your tickets for NXT at Barclays, or if you're not a Ring of Honor fan, or you don't want to go to, you'd rather go to Manhattan instead of going to, you know, Coney Island, which as you said, it's for those that don't know, Coney Island, Seth, is not near South Brooklyn, which is where
you jump
Barclays
on the subway,
is.
I don't know, yeah, probably 40 minutes or something.
Yeah,
from
if you got a car, you jump on the Belt Parkway, and you sit in traffic for a little while, and drive in the most dangerous parkway in the world because it's a half a lane. And people are flying, and there's potholes everywhere, and there's construction.
Go on the subway. If you're going to Ring of Honor, go on the subway.
Yeah.
And tickets, the highest price ticket for Ring of Honor is $40.
Oh, you take the Belt Parkway, you go east on that bitch. And
you wrap around the waist, and you underhook your thigh, and you go like a T over the head with the arch.
Bro, why you gotta do that? See?
I just have a little fun.
I fought at my expense.
You laughed. What's the matter?
I'm laughing because you're a jabroni.
All right, so?
I mean, what are you gonna be a jobber for? I mean,
someone's gotta be the winner here. In wrestling, there's winners and losers, you know? So.
What are you saying? Someone's gotta be the winner. What does that even mean?
You're the winner. I'm a jabroni. Someone's gotta take the pin for you.
Yeah, yes. But the thing is, I've done more jobs than you. How bad is that? So I'm actually the jobber. So, because you've never done a job. Your only job is that you're attached to me.
You had a good 3-year run when you did no jobs. At least, right?
That's my ECW career.
Yes.
Good point. So, again, that was not my idea. Okay. Everybody thinks Taz did not want to put nobody over. No. What are you going to do? Your boss says, hey, we're going to push you to the moon. You're not going to lose. No, I don't want to do that. I want to lose. What am I, Tommy Dreamer? That's what Dreamer would say. Nah, let me do the job because Tommy would get over by doing jobs. So, but yeah, no. So I think that's going to be, it's definitely an exciting time. People are wondering where we're going to be, me, the Human Podcast Machine, or anything involved with my show, Taz per se. You know, where will I be at an NXT show or at a Fan Fest or at a Ring of Honor or at... You know, maybe doing a show. I don't know, man. It's up in the air. There's different options. We have different opportunities. I'm not really sure what's going to happen. Might be nothing. So, you know.
Might be 80-inch television.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't just, you know, people are like, you're going to go to NXT? Are you going to go to SummerSlam? I don't go unless I'm invited. And the invite's got to be done the right way. And we got to, you know, figure it's business. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it. We got to see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it don't matter. Look, SummerSlam is going to be great. The NXT show is going to be great. with or without me being involved in any way, shape, or form, but I think some people maybe assumed, because I'm from Brooklyn, and is there any other Brooklyn wrestlers that have made it kind of a name? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Are
who?
You kidding me? The Brooklyn Brawler.
He's not from Brooklyn. He's not, and that's an insult on Brooklyn. Okay, he's not from Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn, Michigan, maybe, but he's not.
Is there a Brooklyn, Michigan?
There is a Brooklyn, Michigan. Yeah. It's actually near Detroit, and I believe Brawler is from the Michigan area. Yeah, he's not from Brooklyn, New York. No.
Oh man, I told.
Who else? Johnny Rods, but you know that's different. I'm talking that's years ago. I don't know, bro.
I don't know.
Mick Foley's from the island. He's from Suffolk County. He's from Long Island.
You might be the original.
Dream is from Westchester County, Yonkers. Bully Ray is from Long Island.
Big Cass is from Queens.
Big Cass, he's from Queens, right? I forgot about
Enzo's
him.
Enzo's from Jersey.
Enzo's from Jersey.
My man.
Yeah, I like Enzo. The tomato they got, she's from Boston,
Staten
right?
Staten Island, right?
No, well, that's the gimmick, but I think she's originally from
Boston. I'm a gimmick guy. I'm a fan.
Yeah, you're a mock, not a fan.
All right, whatever.
So,
call me Seth.
Who's from Brooklyn? I don't know. Hometown boy in the house. I'm not really sure, bro. I don't know.
I'm going to Google it.
Of course you're going to Google it, because that's how you handle a fantasy draft. That's why Mike Tenay hates your guts. That's why
Mike loves you. You are
ruining the fantasy draft shows, because you are. You are ruining it, and Mike and I have been in meetings with people here at CBS.
Uh-oh.
And we're trying to breach your contract and get you taken off the fantasy drafts. Yes.
Really?
Yes, we're working on it. Yeah.
Well, you know I have lawyers.
I know you have lawyers. Yeah.
Half good luck.
Half of them are your uncles.
Right.
Right.
So it doesn't cost me anything, and they're good. We're very litigious people.
Yes. So, yeah, no, you do a good job with a fancy draft, bro, but you're obsessed with the Google. You know, you got to stop the Google.
I'm just trying to find some wrestlers from Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, who do you got? Let's see. Who's... Like, don't give me some jabroni's name.
This guy that's
been around that knows something. That's
it came in New York. It didn't even separate from Brooklyn.
Give me some, like, former world champions. You know, like, who's a world champion?
Luthez.
He's not. Brooklyn, please. No, but so, I look. So some people maybe are wondering, oh, you're going to be there, this and that. It's over there. It's your backyard. Boom, boom, boom. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to be there. But you never know. You know, I doubt it. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. So I might be in my yard smoking a cigar by the pool. That could be happening. So, I don't know.
Oh, you'll tape the matches then? You watch it at your leisure?
What matches?
If you're by the pool with the cigar, you can't watch the WrestleMania.
I watch the SummerSlam. That's all right. I watch it. Maybe I got a TV out in the yard, bro.
You might.
I might have an overhang with a TV under. You don't know what's going
on. I've seen some of those old weather TVs. Yeah, they're pretty sick.
You don't know what's going on,
bro.
You got
some of that? You got underwater TV?
You don't know what's happening, bro.
See Taz underwater just breathing out of a tank, watching in his pool underwater.
That's funny. I got the compound, bro. I got the moat. I get on the moat and I go.
He goes in his Tasmarine underwater.
You got no Brooklyn wrestlers for me?
I'm looking still. I'm still looking.
Jesus. So anyway, look. Now wait, they're saying Bull Dempsey, though. I think he's being announced that he's from Brooklyn on NXT. Isn't that right? I don't think he's from the island, from Long Island. He might have grew up in Brooklyn. I don't know. I don't know if he might have. Maybe he was born in Brooklyn? I'm not really sure. People throw that Brooklyn name around a little bit. You got to be careful with that. I'm not sure. But I don't know. We'll see. I look, no matter what, I think, like I said, SummerSlam is going to be a great show. There's nothing like awesome New York crowds, New York City-esque crowds, or even Philadelphia, Philly crowds, Chicago crowds. Those type of inner city crowds always will make the show even better than it's going to be. Definitely, I think SummerSlam is going to be a must-see for sure. That NXT show is going to be awesome, too. So, it should be great. It should be great. Seth, done. You're done. You got nothing. You got nothing. You can't even...
I can't find any wrestlers from Brooklyn. I can't.
So, there's a perfect example. Am I the only former champion that's from Brooklyn? Is that really so?
They should bring you out in SummerSlam and have, like, a moment.
You think so? I don't think they care about
Brooklyn's own Taz.
Nah, they're WWE. They don't even know who I am anymore. They can't even say my moves. You just said it yourself. The announcer don't even say the guy's name.
Yeah, he's like, Carl Gotch.
Carl Gotch. I heard Bruiser Brody's name mentioned, the great Bruiser Brody. I've heard, who did he mention?
Yeah, JBL loves Bruiser Brody.
Yeah, no, he mentioned a bunch of guys. Yeah. I don't know. All in like two segments. And then they call a T-Bone wrong. I mean, but, you know, it could be confusing. Then I have people saying, you know, people, I think you're assuming that me and Michael Cole were like best friends.
You guys weren't best friends?
No, well, back in the day we were.
We were some buddies?
I thought we were really good friends, but then I realized we weren't. But I have nothing bad to say about the guy, but...
You guys did great, worked well together.
I loved work with him. We really had a chemistry on the air. I was definitely a fan of work with him. I've put him over publicly a million times. He maybe put me over publicly twice, but who's counting? But
well, I think you're counting.
You know, yes, you are right. I am. No, but you know, he taught me a lot how to be an actual broadcaster when we were teamed up together. You know, I thought we had great chemistry. We'd done a lot of radio stuff together, and we had we had some similar goals together that we didn't complete, but we did have goals. But then it's like, I don't know, once I left, it's like, take it easy. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, how many times you reach out to people, you hear from them sometimes. I mean, you know what? Everybody's busy, you know, but I don't know. I guess we weren't the friends I thought we were. That's all I was saying. I'm not knocking the guy, but I don't really have much dealings with him. You know,
it's a long time ago, right? Was it 10 years ago?
Yeah, but, you know, we've been in touch through those 10 years a little bit here and there. I mean, but to be frank, a lot of times it's me reaching out to him. Hey, help your family. You guys have a good holiday. You know, during my time at TNA, it's a weird thing. Like, when you're at TNA, like when I was there, like a lot of the WWE people, like some of them, like they're almost afraid to reach back at you because they're, like, afraid to get in trouble, I guess.
I don't want to catch that TNA disease.
Well, that could be, too. Yeah. They don't want the bad rub. I mean, yeah. No, it's a private text to an old friend or someone you wrestled or somebody, you know, that was whatever. It's just weird, you know?
It's not just wrestling, too. Even in regular jabroni people, yeah, when someone leaves, like, people are afraid to talk to them.
And, really?
Yeah,
so here at CBS, so someone goes to, like, the enemy, like NBC, what happens, bro? Tell me stories.
Not even going anywhere, even if they get fired. People just don't want to talk. Don't talk.
Bad rub.
I don't do that. I reach out, man.
Mm. Really?
Yeah. When I got fired from a company, and I was friends with a guy.
Why'd you get fired?
Huh?
Why?
I got let go. I was like there for 12 years.
Probably lack of performance.
Yeah, probably. But I was friends with a guy, and he didn't talk to me, and I ran into him. I was like, what's up?
Yeah. It pisses you off, right?
People don't know what to say. It's like, all you say is, hey, man, sorry, you know, good luck, whatever, you know, you need whatever, I'm here. So it's not a big deal.
He probably realized you were a jobber and he didn't want to be around you.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm making. People are afraid. They're like, oh, you ain't going to catch it. You know, just because I'm a jobber, ain't the disease, you don't catch it. Oh, what's wrong? You okay? No, I got the jobber.
The jobber disease, bro.
All I look at is lights all day. All right, now for the jobber. That's that.
You're right. That is that. That is that. And that's that. That with this show. That's that. That's that. It's
that,
it.
That, that, that,
that's
that,
it. We're
that,
done. That. We're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to my take. A couple of things on Raw that I talked about that jumped out to me, and Seth giving his viewpoint. And also some. Hope you guys understand the difference. You're not confused like Seth between a T-bone and an exploder and suplexes and all that jazz. And we talked a little bit about a lot of little stuff. So hope you guys enjoyed the show. Be back at you this week with another show. Sit tight. The Human Podcast Machine ain't going nowhere. The machine is just cranking up. For Seth, I'm Taz. You're not. Adios.